Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Test Talks. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com. And this is a podcast for anyone who wants to discover how to succeed with automation and testing, as well as what works for testing any software development project. Today, we'll talk with Rosie Sherry, the founder of multiple software testing communities like the Software Testing Club and Ministry of Testing, as well as the co-founder of the testing agency Testing Ninjas. Rosie is also the organizer of Test Bash, a popular software testing conference. Today, Rosie reveals for us her secrets to creating successful testing communities, as well as her unique take on life and testing. Check it out. Hey, Rosie. Welcome to Test Talks.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Before we get started, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
I've been working in testing for probably close to 15 years now. I started out as a tester. It was during the dot-com boom, and then, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs in the market, so I kind of moved around a bit, trying out different roles, a lot of contract roles, freelance roles. And through my research and desire to kind of do more, I was getting a bit bored with testing, and it just felt a bit mundane. And, you know, this is going back to probably 2001, 2002, and I just got a bit bored and felt like there had to be more. So I started trialing out things. I started doing a bit of blogging. I started the Software Testing Club, which is an online community. And that really was just like a bit of an experiment. And I felt like there was a need to kind of hang out with good testers. And that's probably where a lot of people know me most from, is from starting the Software Testing Club. It's really kind of grown, and I didn't expect it to grow, but I just kind of kept at it. And I just kept wanting to do good things for the testing community, kind of not satisfied with what was out there. And I just felt like the community needed more. So I just kept doing things, doing meetups and then Ministry of Testing and doing a conference, Test Bash, and I kind of just keep doing more stuff that I think is interesting.
So I love the Software Testing Club. That's part that you're right. This is where I found out about you. I've been going to the site for years now. I love the look and feel of it. I love the content. Can you tell us a little bit more what Software Testing Club is, or why someone should definitely add it to their favorites?
Yeah, I mean, Software Testing Club is simply online forums, or online community, should I say. There's a forum, there's lots of people signed up, and there's other things like events that you can add, and we try to keep that kind of stuff updated. But I think the difference, I guess, with the Software Testing Club compared to like other testing sites out there is that when I started it, I always had in mind what I didn't want it to be. I think the testing world suffers a lot from being overrun and driven by commercial aspects. You've got tool vendors, or you've got training providers, or you've got ICEB certificate companies. They've all got their agenda. And I just felt like there wasn't something out there that was really just talking about testing and doing better testing, or generally talking about moving the testing world forward. Everything was certification, or how do you pass this test? What tool should I be learning? And it just felt like there wasn't the right balance. And I wanted to try to fix that. And I think I've been doing it by keeping to my morals, keeping to the standards that, like, no marketing allowed in the forums, for example. And there's a lot of kind of boring questions that get posted, and with the help of, you know, some other volunteers, we try to keep that to the lowest possible amount. And I think because we've done that, and we've tried to kind of seed the community with like interesting conversations and topics that have been discussed, people have come to realize and know Software Testing Club as somewhere that is of quality conversations, that they know that they can go there and get real answers, not something like, you know, come buy my tool.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. There's really quality content there. And like you said, it's not commercialized. It's really testers talking about testings. I read one of your blog posts about your annoyance with people focusing too much on a tool rather than finding a good tester. So I just wanted to know, why does that annoy you so much?
I think it's not just tools. I think it's, like, again, probably not so much the tools, but focusing on the commercial values and not trying to focus on doing the right thing. So with like the tools example, I brought that up because I had this recruiter call me one day. He scheduled a call with me saying, I'm really interested in kind of finding out more about what you think about where the testing world is going. So I spent some time talking to him, and like the first question he asked me was, where do you see the top tools being in the next 5 years? He was bringing up QTP and all of those tools. And I was just like, why is that the first question that you're interested in asking me about testing? I couldn't understand why that was the first question. Shouldn't he be asking me something else that is generally related to testing, whereas a tool is just a tool? You know, it's stuff like that. It's just like, it kind of goes back to the whole reason why I started everything that I started, is that I started it because I want to see change. I want to, people to be focused on real testing, not what's the next big tool that I should study for and do an exam on and pass a test so that when a recruiter comes to me, I'll have that keyword in my CV and they'll know that I'm the best person for the job. But when you look at all these people that have these things in their CV and you start talking real testing to them, they haven't got a clue. So that the frustration for me is that as a community, and the community being us, the testers and the recruiters and the vendors and whoever, you know, certification companies, there's just not, I don't know how it started, but there's just, I just don't feel like there's the right balance. And I feel like there should be more balance. And I don't know how to do that because it kind of feels like we're stuck in a circle. I kind of feel like I've been talking about this for years and years and years, is that, you know, this focus on testing things that are not really that important as a skill. But yet you get companies that are so focused on it and they think it's so important for a tester to have, but increasingly you're finding testers who don't think that's important, but they feel like they still have to go ahead and get that certificate because that's what a HR person is asking for. It just feels wrong. And that blog post you're referring to was a bit of a kind of frustration thing about it. Are we still, you know, part of me thinks that we're kind of past this, but then when you speak to recruiters who are obviously representing companies who want to hire testers, you kind of realize, actually, we're not past this. It's a bit of a problem. I think it's a bit of a problem.
So how do you think we can get past it? I know you've been working on it for a while, but anything you think testers, how us as testers maybe can educate our managers to probably change this type of thinking?
I've thought about it a lot, and I don't know what the answer is. And I think some of it probably has to come with time, but ideally, you know, testers would be pushing for hiring the right kind of people and educating whoever it is that's doing the hiring. But how do you get HR people, as an example, recruitment people, to educate themselves or be motivated to educate themselves? And should it all be down to us? I mean, I don't know if this is a problem in other industries, but I kind of look at the web world. I personally love like the startup world, and often I kind of look through job specs and people recruiting, and I just feel like the recruitment process in that kind of world is nowhere like the recruitment process in the testing world. There have been movements towards it changing, and I host a job board on the Ministry of Testing. So quite often I see job posts that are being posted there, and there are some coming through that are specifically saying it doesn't matter if you've got a certificate or not, and they try to make it clear. It still feels like it's a minority.
No, I agree. And actually, I think it's kind of dangerous, especially with the automation side. If someone's just looking for someone with automation tool experience that doesn't have a testing background, they may automate something, but they're going to be automating the wrong things. So I think that's really a danger we get ourselves in when we, like you say, just focus on a certification or a tool, because it's more about testing in general, the knowledge. How do you test something? How do you know what's a good test and things like that?
Exactly. And that makes us look even worse as a community of testers. You know, say if someone goes in and just automates something, it's going to be obvious down the line that the work that they've done has been a waste of time. Doesn't matter how good they can use a tool. If they don't do it properly, it's not going to make them as a tester look good. But then it has like a negative effect on the whole community, because then whoever had that tester will think of testing as a waste of time and money. Why should they invest time and money in testing if all we produce is bad, I don't know, bad code, bad, you know, whatever it is, you know, is that if we don't do a good job, we don't all kind of show pride and make an effort into doing the best job possible, it makes us look bad. And I see that time and time again. Like I posted to Reddit or Hacker News the other day, just as an experiment. And I asked to say, what's the first thing you think of when I say software testing? And I just get a bunch of negative reviews, you know? And I think stuff like that is to say, why do people kind of see us so badly? And it's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I was like, why? I mean, if you asked them someone was like, what's the first thing you think of when you say software developer or design or UX? I doubt that people would say the same thing. But when you say testing, it's just like all these negative comments. It's like, it's quite shocking, really.
Now that I think of it, I usually call myself a software engineer because I don't like the label of tester. Because like you said, sometimes it's seen negatively or almost people look down on you.
And you know, I want to kind of combat that and change that, but I don't know how. It's like, you know, how do you do that when you know, most of the community think you're a waste of space?
It's hard because developers think they're producing something, and testers, because they're testing that output, I guess, is seen as not really contributing to what's being created when they actually are. So people don't see the value, especially if they don't have that education, what exactly testing is doing and helping them with. Then, like you said, it's really a tough thing to try to solve.
And I think also the history of testing is that I think like testing in the past has been very wasteful. Is that not focusing on making a better product, but focusing on writing tests and test plans and coverage and, you know, covering your own asses and stuff like that, rather than what can they do to make the product better? What can they do to make friends within their team, you know? And I think that's probably a big reason why we've people outside of the testing community don't see us in the best light. And I think that's probably what we need to try to fix somehow, to show them a better way to test. I don't do a lot of testing these days, but I run Test Ninjas, which is like a micro test agency with someone else. And I always get the question, is that they always ask me, so how do you actually test? What do you do? How do you approach it? You know, people don't, they really don't know how we go about testing or what's involved. And, you know, these are developers sometimes, or designers, or, you know, product experts, but they really don't know how to go about testing. And that's probably part of the problem as well.
Yeah, I agree. I was hoping Agile, my company recently changed from Waterfall to Agile. I was hoping that would kind of help with this issue. Because you have people that are on a team that all of them are responsible for quality, in theory, this is what it should be, that more people would be educated to it and understand what testing is. But what turns out is they point out one person and say, hey, you're responsible for testing, and then none of the other people on the team contribute.
Well, they use the excuse of, well, everyone can test, so we don't need a tester. I've heard that one quite a few times.
Really?
So, yeah.
Crowd test it, crowdsource it, I guess.
Yeah. In some aspects, crowd testing is, you know, I think a lot of people, when they think about testing, they think about crowd testing. And just thinking about that now is just like, how come crowd testing has become so popular? You know, and people kind of look into it, they're curious to know about it, but they don't really know the difference between crowd testing and real testing quite often. And I think sometimes crowd testing can be sold as a solution to testing when actually it doesn't properly cover all your testing needs, or they sell it as something that is a complete solution that, and they won't need their own test team and they can get a crowd of testers in. Where I think on the positive side, it's kind of brought light to the testing world and the testing needs, but on the other side, it's just like it kind of dismisses testing as like a professional activity that requires time and expertise and someone to kind of manage it to do a proper job.
Yeah, it almost devalues it. Like anyone can do testing. You don't need any training. Just jump on and poke around at an application.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean it can't be useful.
Right.
It kind of gets sold as something. I was like, oh, you need something testing? Come and crowd test it. But, you know, it doesn't kind of cover all angles.
You have a lot of engaged people on your site. So do you have any tips on how to encourage collaboration between testers so they can share their tips and tricks along the way?
The hardest thing about community building is kind of getting people to want to contribute. It can be hard, and I struggle with it sometimes. And I think the strategy that I've kind of taken with everything is I've really shied away from the limelight, in a sense. And even though like I've kind of started all of this stuff, it was never about me. I don't write a lot about testing. I kind of try to get other people to write about things, as I don't speak about testing. I run a conference for testing, but I don't speak about testing. I'm trying to get what I think is interesting about testing, the people that are interested or doing interesting things to kind of step up and talk. And, you know, I've never presented at a conference. I've never spoken on a podcast until now, as an example. I've kind of happily shied away from that. And I don't know if that's why it works, because I'm quite happy to put other people in the limelight. They enjoy that, or they need that, or they want that. And I don't know if that's why it's working. Generally, to get people engaged, is my strategy is just to be nice to people. Ask them what they want and help them out as much as possible. You know, where I can help out, I'm quite happy to help people out. I do that in a lot of different ways. So I have volunteers who help me out, and quite often I some give them free training passes to courses that I host, as an example, and stuff like that. So, you know, whilst I don't always pay with money, and people often don't want money, I try to give back as much as I can to the people who help me the most, and to the people that are keen to contribute. I try to find ways to get them involved as well. And it's obvious to me who the people are that are trying really hard to do something good in the testing world. So if I can do something to help them, then I think it helps them and it helps me, and kind of everyone's a winner.
What is the Ministry of Testing? What's that site all about?
That site, that started after the Software Testing Club. So that's probably been going about 3 or 4 years now. And I started that to have a focus on kind of training and events and resources. So we host training courses like twice a year, once in the spring, once in the autumn. We host Test Bash in the UK now. And that's in Brighton every year in the spring in March. We're about to launch the schedule for our fourth conference, and that's going really well. It's, you know, it's quite stressful, but, you know, it's going well. It sold out last year, so
awesome.
I'm really pleased about that. And for me, it's Test Bash kind of brings the online world offline. There's something really special about that, especially because, you know, I've been involved in it from the start. You know, it's been a good 7-8 years now that I've been running Software Testing Club and the Ministry of Testing, and to kind of finally meet people that I've been in touch with all this time, and to get to invite people to come, you know, that I think are interesting, is a really nice privileged position to be in. And, you know, it's not something that I ever really planned out to do. I didn't think, you know, I'd run this conference so that I could work with some of the best testers in the world. Test Bash is also about, for me, it's about the community and bringing new blood into the conference world and training world, and trying to do stuff that's really about teaching good testing. So like the courses I put on, none of them lead to any kind of certification. They're just courses, 1, 2, 3 day courses that are focused on learning about testing. James Back does his RST course with us once or twice a year. But we've also got testers who are professional in their field and know a lot about what they do. And we're trying to do interesting courses and things like, you know, like mobile testing, for example, and agile testing.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of great things about Test Bash. I always wish that you had one in the US. Do you plan on expanding at all to other countries?
Possibly.
Cool.
I do get a lot of requests to do them elsewhere. Yes, possibly. I kind of need to get this one out of the way, I think. Yeah, I mean, I get a lot of requests, and we're launching the dojo in a month or two, which is trying to bring some of our courses online. And part of the reason we're doing it is because we kept getting asked whether any of the courses that we do now, whether we could record them and or they could attend them online. And it was never possible. I mean, I don't believe in just kind of recording courses and uploading the content. It doesn't create a great user experience. So I wanted to do it properly. So that's one of the big projects we're doing at the moment, is trying to create online courses or online content that goes with our ethos, I guess, of creating good testing content.
So to me, it looks like you have a lot of things that you work on, and you're also a mother on top of it. So do you have any productivity or life balance tips for us? I don't know how you do it.
Don't have kids. Yeah, I mean, I homeschool my kids as well.
Wow.
So just to add another thing, I've got 3 boys at the moment.
Wow.
To be honest, I write a lot about this on my personal blog. I'm quite open about how I do things, and I'm quite different in my vision of what I want my life to be. My eldest is 10 years old now, and ever since I had him, I've struggled to kind of work full time. So after I had my second child, I made a promise to myself that I wouldn't work for someone else. I couldn't do it. I couldn't physically do it. It's taken a few years, and I've kind of managed to achieve some kind of independence with the activities that I'm doing. And I think that's partly what drives me, is doing work that I enjoy and making a living from it, and trying to do that in a positive way. So it's like, yes, I am running a business, but it's not all about the money. And as I'm building up this business, I'm building it up around my life. As a result of that, I only commit to things that I know that I can do around my kids' lives. It's a slow process, and, you know, it has taken years, but I'm getting there, and I feel like I'm getting there now. And my husband is working with me now, so we both kind of manage everything equally. So he helps out with the kids, and I help out with kids. He works on our projects as well now. It's a very interesting way to live your life. You know, say we work from home, our kids are at home, and you know, we manage. It's a constant rebalancing of everything. And if things start to get a bit stressful, we kind of try to look at how we can alleviate that. Stuff like that is like figuring out what works for us.
Yeah, awesome. Whatever you're doing, it's working, I think. Just by the quality of your output and the quality of your sites, I think it really shows that you're doing something right. So congratulations on that. Are there any books or resources you recommend to someone who wants to learn what testing is all about?
Well, I started with James Back a few years ago. And actually, he was the one who inspired me to stay with testing. I would really recommend it. He's got so much on his website. You have to hunt down a bit for some of it, but I'd really recommend starting with his work. I don't really class myself as context driven, but I support the idea around it. And I've always felt like it's important for the work that I do that I remain kind of independent in the way that I think. And so whilst I support context driven, I think it's also important to look at everyone else's work who don't class themselves as context driven and see opportunities there to kind of share the work that they're doing. Lessons learned in software testing that James has written with a couple of other people. And I think it's also important to kind of just generally read what other testers are writing about and kind of forming your own view on the testing world and not taking what one person says as the way it is and kind of forming your own opinion on what you think you should focus on. I think testers sometimes lack that focus and interest in pursuing like a specific angle of testing that they want to pursue or become very specialist in. And I think it would be great if more people kind of specialized in specific areas of testing and explored it further. I host on the Ministry of Testing what I call testing feeds, where I've over the years collected blogs and I aggregate it into one feed. I basically add most blogs to it in the hope that it will communicate like what everyone's talking about. So there's blogs there from Rex Black. So Rex Black's blog is fed through there, as is James's. I don't want to discriminate what people are talking about. I kind of separate like vendor blogs and stuff. I don't kind of host anything that's kind of commercially focused. But I think it's really important that everyone gets a view and everyone sees what the testing world is like so that they can then choose what is right for them. Because, you know, we all work in different environments and have different interests, and I think it's just really important to follow our own paths.
Great advice and great resources. I definitely agree with the of James Bach. Sometimes I think he's too smart for me when I read his stuff, but I think it's worth it to sometimes sit down and try to really understand what he's saying, and it's really beneficial.
Yeah. I mean, he's got such a big heart. I mean, I see him maybe once or twice a year when he comes to do training, and you know, some people have different opinions of him and can come across as quite strong, I would say. But, you know, really, he's trying to do good things. He has changed the testing world in a very positive way. And I think he has inspired a lot of people to look at testing in a different way. I think you have to respect that. Doesn't mean you have to follow him. You know, he inspired me to begin with. And I value that. And I respect him for that. And he knows my view on things. you know, he knows that I'm not all about being context driven. And he's cool with that. He hasn't held it against me.
Awesome. I just want to switch gears. Any thoughts on how to encourage more women to get interested in careers in programming and technology?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about it. I used to run Girl Geek Dinners in Brighton a few years ago. That was in the early days of like tech meetups where there wasn't a lot going on. And it was really good fun doing it. I did it for maybe 2 or 3 years. And it kind of, unless it died out, I started doing other things. I struggle with it because I think it's important to encourage women or minorities. But at the same time, I've kind of become a bit bored with the topic of all these campaigns focusing on women. And I don't know what the right answer is, to be honest. I kind of think like what I try to do now is just set an example of what, as myself, as a woman, as a mother, trying to just try to set a good example and kind of be visible and show people that you can do things if you want to. I do get comments and emails quite a lot saying, from mostly testers, because I'm more known in the testing world, thanking me for writing stuff about what I do, or you know, they kind of admire the things that I'm doing because I'm a woman and because I've got family and because I home educate. So I kind of feel like people are listening to some extent, and for me, that's kind of what I want to do, and that's what I'm happy doing, and I think it makes a difference to people. I've kind of got bored of, you know, events focusing on women or magazines or whatever it is focusing on women. I'm not entirely sure if that fixes stuff. I'd much rather see any website just encouraging more women to get involved and Why do we have to separate events to have women? You know, it's a hard one because I know it does encourage some women to come forward, but it still makes it so obvious that there's this big separation. I don't understand why we need that separation. You know, I'd rather just see more women at events. Again, there's no simple answer to that. And I mean, at Test Bash last year, I didn't have any women speakers. I felt kind of bad about that. But, you know, at the same time, the women speakers, just some did apply, but I just didn't feel like they were good enough. And I didn't want to choose a speaker just because she was a woman. This year, I put a bit more focus on trying to encourage women. So, you know, it's not all men this year, but, you know, so perhaps, you know, having some kind of focused balance on encouraging women is a good thing. But we live in a modern world, mostly. I think most professional women these days know that they can come forward. But I don't know if that's me just living in my own world and everybody has their different views on how things are. But I think in the testing world, there's probably a higher percentage of women working in testing, especially compared to like programming and stuff. But I don't know. No simple answers for that one.
I like your lead by example. I think someone sees the work that you're doing and then you're not compromising. You're doing your thing and it's working. So I think that's uplifting and encouraging to everyone, not just women.
I think women can stand out in a lot of different ways. And it doesn't have to be about getting up and speaking at a conference or, you know, say, you know, I've not done that. And I've done things my own way that I feel comfortable in or that I've made myself into a comfortable position in what I'm doing. So I hold a lot of responsibility now with everything that I do, but I still shy away from a lot of activities, partly because I don't want to do them, but partly because, you know, I've got my family to deal with and it just becomes a bit too much for me. But I think it's important that women or anyone doesn't feel pressured to do things that they don't necessarily feel comfortable to do just because people want to get more women into tech or more women into conference speaking. I think it's important that people kind of follow their interests and what they want to do. And there's a lot of different ways you can do that.
Before we go, is there one piece of actionable advice you can give someone to help them test better or be better testers? And let us know the best way to find or contact you.
The best piece of advice for me is to learn about testing, but also to learn about the environment that you work in and what's important for you to know about that environment. For me, that was learning about startups and businesses and web design, because that's kind of where my interest lies. You know, whatever industry you work in, I would hope that you'd kind of be interested in that industry enough to kind of figure out how you can make that industry better. Not all down to how you can make testing better, but say, what can you do to improve the industry and the product that you're working on? And it's not always about testing. I think that's part of the problem with the testing world, is that sometimes we focus so much on the testing that we forget about the business side of things or the users or, you know, whatever it is, we kind of lose sight of what's important. And I think if you kind of keep the whole picture in mind, you'll go a lot further than just focusing on the bugs that you're trying to find. You can email me on rosie@softwaretestingclub.com. I normally answer emails. Sometimes they get a bit lost, but I do try to answer to most of them. And if I don't, then just kind of nag me and I'll happily respond.
Bachelor, listen up. Bachelor, listen up.
Since last time we spoke, Selenium actually released a new version of the web driver, version 2.43. So I was kind of hoping the next version released was going to be Selenium 3, but we're not there yet. But the good news is the version 2.43 fixes a lot of things for all the language bindings. So for this and all the other things of value that we talked about, head on over to Test Talks in the show notes, www.testtalks.com/20. And as always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.